When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Sherwood Forest, the second full hour of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. If you've enjoyed this, or if you haven't, you just want to let me know about that. I do this and a few other podcasts a week. You can find everything that I do on ericvonline.com, ericvonline.com. It's kind of a hub site, takes you to everything. You'll find the podcast, the Facebook, the Twitter, all of that sort of nonsense that everyone else does. I always rail like I'm so different.
But you can listen to these shows there, too.
These shows are actually there as well. When we get done, we put them all together and throw them up there, and we have a couple other podcasts that we do. We actually do a podcast right after the show every week called Doctrine After Show that's available there as well. I'm Eric Von Hessler. Our friend Autumn Fisher is off this week. Producer Jared Yamamoto is here. You just heard English Nick, and you're going to hear more English Nick, because it is time for
Outrage Corner.
That's outrageous.
With English Nick.
All right, what's the world outraged about?
Well, they're disappointed. That's the polite way of saying it. But Buckingham Palace is outraged. We are disappointed, darlings. They're outraged at footage from 1933 showing the Queen performing a Nazi salute has been released.
So the Queen was 7, I believe, at this time, and her younger sister is 3.
There's an uncle too, and they're
Edward,
doing the Heil Hitler salute on the on the lawn there.
You understand the lineage more than me. Is it Edward the 7th that's on the lawn with them? Edward, one of the Edwards is on the lawn with them.
Who had meetings with Hitler and stuff prior to World War II.
Well, the first thing that needs to be understood, the reason Buckingham Palace is a little oogie about this, although you can understand that they wouldn't want this out there anyway, but you know, the truth is that there were elements of the glitterati in England and the royal family that were very touchy-feely with the Nazis. And there's a little bit of German in that lineage of the royal family, and there were a lot of people. You know, the academics at the time thought that in the early 30s that, you know, maybe Hitler's good for Europe and Germany. And there was a lot of talking going on behind the scenes. My understanding is from people, I read something of a photographer, somebody who's familiar with this stuff, that it comes from a film where they're really, the way it's a very English term, they were larking about.
Yes.
They were larking about.
Having a lark.
They were having a lark. And but it was described when I first read it that the Edward, whichever one of them is there, the adult, is teaching them how to do the Nazi salute. And then I saw that maybe that's not true. Here's the deal. There's nothing really significant about this, but it's hilarious. It is hilarious to see.
I can't laugh too much. I want to get back to England at some point and see my family.
That's true. But first of all, just seeing the Queen at 7 years old, it's hilarious.
Hey, look on her face. She's very serious. Yeah, she really is.
She's already like the Queen when she's 7 years old. It's like, this is the most fun she's ever had. She almost cracked a smile. So it's just hilarious to see the Queen. I didn't even know she was ever a child. I thought that she was just like born 50 years old. I had no idea that she was actually a child. And it was that was 1933, and she's still the Queen.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been doing this Queen thing a long time.
She's pretty experienced.
When did
she
become the Queen? 56 or something? Somewhere in the 50s, I believe?
I think 53 maybe.
But I mean, she was in line, and she already knew at 7 to act like a queen, to be a proper young lady, just with the look on her face. And so I believe the stories that, you know, they were larking about. I don't think there's really anything to it, but it's still hilarious to see the Queen
giving
the Heil Hitler salute at 7 years of age.
Let's bear in mind, this was on the front page of the Sun newspaper, and I use the term newspaper very loosely.
Are they a tabloid?
Tabloid. They have the page 3 girls, you know, the topless ladies.
But the Queen's not there, I
know. No.
That would be wrong.
That would be a complete outrage. The headline is, Their Royal Highness.
Ah, yes, very good. I'm surprised it's not in the newspaper that's interesting to me. And I don't, somehow I've set my Twitter and the way that I follow different news organizations. I get a lot of stories from this paper called The Guardian.
Yeah, me too. Oh, on Facebook.
The best I could tell, this paper exists just to let the world know how stupid America is. Every story in The Guardian is, oh boy, these dumb Americans. And I'm thinking to myself, first I take offense, but then I don't, because I realize, well, there's no paper in America that is all about just telling people what boobs the English are.
No.
You know what I mean? We don't have any kind of paper here that's, oh, these are idiots in England. Look what these idiots in England are doing. Yet there's this paper called The Guardian.
Yep.
They release the Snowden stuff. The whole Assange stuff comes out. They're a conduit for anything anti-American. So I got to think that plays over there. There's a group of people who just can't get enough reading about how stupid Americans are.
Obese Americans. Donald Trump's been on the front of The Guardian for 3 weeks.
Yeah. Donald Trump speaks for everybody in America. Yeah. Can you believe this? As if they haven't had stupid leaders in England with bad teeth. Donald Trump has good teeth. Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I can't believe this. So back, Queen Elizabeth has been queen since 1953.
Yes. Yeah.
1953. Yeah. That's 60 years.
And I'll tell you something. I don't think that, I think that she hates her son. Because Prince Charles is in his 60s, probably
easily,
almost 70.
He's in line.
And she's 800. And you would think that she would just think, you know what, I'm going to throw him a bone here.
Doesn't work that way.
I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to let him be the king for 5 minutes before, it looks like they're just going to pass over this guy and go right to...
She's got to pop her clogs before he can take over as king. So.
No, does she have to die?
Yes.
She has to die?
I believe so, yes.
She can't, hey, we have popes resign. Popes retire now. It's
the
a whole
queen,
new world.
Eric.
I just feel like she could look at her poor son, who's his whole life thought he was going to be the king of England for at least a moment, and you'd think that she would say, I'm just going to say I'm too unhealthy, or I can't do it anymore. And
Eric, she's the most important woman in the world.
Is she now?
Yeah, she
is. What's she done?
Everything.
The royal family, and I'm not totally against them because I don't care, they're basically a welfare case, right?
I mean, well, they get a lot of taxpayers' money, but they also raise...
They're like the first reality stars. They're famous for being famous. What do they do?
Let me tell you, if they were in Atlanta, Georgia, they'd be at the Carathon tomorrow night. they raise a lot of money for great causes.
All right. Okay, they raise money but what do they do as... Like, there's all this stuff over there where if there's a new prime minister, the queen has to say, okay, you're the prime minister. But it's just a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
The people vote for the prime minister, and so there's
She can have the prime minister beheaded if she disagrees with him.
Really? It just hasn't happened.
That still happens. Take him to the tower.
So they pretend there's power there.
Yeah.
My in-laws, my father-in-law is no longer with us. My mother-in-law, they're English. They're born in England, and they still have my mother-in-law still has her proper English accent. And I used to have not arguments, but debates with my father-in-law about this. And his response was, it's good for tourism.
It is good for tourism.
Basically, if you got rid of that's really what they're there for. If you got rid of it, then the show would be gone and they'd lose a lot of tourist dollars.
I think a lot of the younger generation, as people, younger generations come along, they're not so with the royal family that older generations were.
Yeah. Well, see, this might help out because this picture of her when she's 7, it might up the German tourism.
Yeah, yeah.
More people might become interested in Buckingham Palace.
A couple of different flags flying over Buckingham Palace.
Again, it is it's meaningless, but it's hilarious.
Yes.
Give me another story.
Another story. Somebody who's outraged about the Kim Kardashian Rolling Stone cover is our friend Sinead O'Connor.
Sinead.
She's always outraged about... Remember when she ripped up the picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that, though? That she did it the wrong way. You shouldn't rip up a picture of the Pope. That's outrageous to a lot of people. But you know what that was for? The reason she did that was because she was trying to get attention to a lot of the scandals with children that 10 years later became at front page big scandals for the church. That's why she did it. So she did the wrong thing then, but that was the reason that she did it. And so she was a little bit ahead of the time on that. I'm outraged that anyone still believes the Rolling Stone is an important music magazine. she's upset because Kim Kardashian is on the cover. What did she say? Something like it's the end of...
She said music has officially died. Who knew it would be the Rolling Stone that murdered it?
Okay, well, Rolling Stone murdered music a long time ago. I remember when I was 16, 15 or 16 years old.
Yeah.
I think it was 1980. I saw Rolling Stone. They had the Village People on the cover. And I remember I was outraged at the time because I was all about rock and roll music.
Disco, man.
Disco's terrible, and I'm rock and roll is the real thing. So, you know, when the Rolling Stone magazine put the Village People on the cover, I sort of learned that, okay, this is just to sell magazines.
Yeah.
All right. Rolling magazines, I don't even know why any of them exist anymore. Have you picked up, say, a Time magazine lately? It's like a leaflet.
Yes.
When I was a kid, Time magazine was chock full. It was heavy. It was full of advertising. Now it's like a leaflet. Rolling Stone, the same thing. Rolling Stone magazine used to be a bundle. I mean, it was so big in 1976, you had to put it on your back and take it home. I mean, it was so big. And now you pick it up, and it's just like, it has no weight to it, because there's no reason for these magazines to live on now, because everybody gets their information online, so it's kind of ridiculous. But I guarantee you this, Kim Kardashian, I don't care about her, but it'll sell more Rolling Stone magazines than they've sold in a long time, and that's why it's there. And Sinead O'Connor, this idea that Rolling Stone magazine means anything anymore, it means nothing. Time magazine means nothing. I mean, Jared, you're what, 26?
Yes.
You don't even remember. I mean, Time magazine, like, the cover of Time magazine.
Sure.
There was a song called The Cover of the Rolling Stone. If you were a band, man, you wanted to be on the cover of the Rolling Stone. It means nothing now.
Yeah.
So for Sinead O'Connor, let's not even get into her weirdness, because she's weirder than weird. For her to get outraged over this is like, did she just wake up and it's 1987 or something, and she thinks Rolling Stone magazine should matter to anyone?
She even said that Bob Dylan must be blank horrified. It's like Bob Dylan doesn't care about Rolling Stone.
Here's the secret about Bob Dylan. He's a capitalist. Let's get the hell out of here before Sinead O'Connor comes after us. All right, a couple more outrage stories when we return. Da-da-da-da-da. That's why the lady is a tramp. Welcome back. Channel 2's Brad Nitz is predicting a high around 95 with a solid 7 on the Mellish meter. This weather report is brought to you by Shoemake, the official air conditioning of summer. And I believe it's time to try to squeeze in maybe another outrage going on in the world, English Nick.
Eric, it seems there's a lot of cake outrage of late.
All right, you know what? Is this another story what happened with bacon? How did cakes become at the nexus of all social scandal and issues that divide people? It's for some reason cakes are always involved. It's either like flags on the cakes, or people are saying, I'm not going to make a cake for these types of people. And it all when did cakes become
time
political?
To buy pies, I'm telling you. Pie time.
We talked about this before. We're going to go all pie because they're just, apparently, they're neutral. Pies are like Switzerland compared to cakes, which have suddenly become the most political things in the world. I never thought about it.
It's just cake.
Let's say something about a cake. I had a great, I've had great cakes made for events before, and there was this one. I made a movie. We had a premiere, and we had a cake made that was unbelievable. I mean, it had reels of film coming down it, and there were actual stills from the movie inside the reels, inside the film coming down the side. But this is one thing I've learned about cakes. The better they look, the worse they taste. A good-looking cake that really wows you is not going to taste good.
It's all fancy, but
it's all, yeah, because they have to put like concrete over the top to make things
work.
Don't
you feel guilty eating it, too?
I don't know if guilty is the right word,
right,
but you do kind of destroy it.
You mean because the cake that looks great is like a work of art.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the. No. It's like radio. It's disposable art.
Okay, so in this particular cake outrage episode, a woman noticed that her son's dino birthday cake.
Dino or dino?
Dino.
Or the dinosaur.
Yeah, the dino.
Oh, because kids like it, so it's a birthday cake. Yeah, kids like dinosaurs.
It was a brown chocolate cake. It said, happy birthday, Noah. It had a blue dinosaur, and the dinosaur had three legs. The legs looked like 666. That was her problem.
All right.
Sign of the devil.
You sent me the story. I looked at the picture. You really, really have to be looking to see 666 there.
You do.
And then, this is hilarious. If I owned that bakery or whatever, I would say, look, you know what? Can you do me a favor? Here's your money for that cake, and you can keep the cake. And the next time you want a cake, would you? Here are five competitors that I have. Please go there because there's something wrong with you. But that was not the way they responded with this real apology.
And
you know?
Of course, we live in a social media age where some people chimed in on Facebook. One person said, I work for Costco and was a cake decorator for 5 years. The dinosaur should have had a fourth leg.
Okay, maybe he should have. There was a mistake.
Well, that would have been a 4-6, but whatever.
I mean, it's idiotic that people actually believe. I think that. I think Satan is talking to me through this cake. I mean, I really think they're coming after our children. You know, dinosaur cakes are always a big one when you have children. A little personal story from my life. My wife is usually a great cook, mm-hmm. and even pastries, and she made this great French toast thing this morning that's unbelievable. But when our son, who's 30 years old now, on his fifth birthday, she made a cake that was a dinosaur cake, but she forgot to put the yeast in or something. It didn't rise. And we had all these kids coming over, so she threw all this candy on top, made it look really wonderful, and she thought it would make the kids were not fooled. All they did was pick the candy off the top. The cake was horrible. So that's outrageous.
That is outrageous.
Anybody outraged by a dinosaur cake really needs to check themselves. When we return, the time has come. We can avoid it no more. It's Greg Russ, Stories from Studio B1.
You've seen the headlines. Skyrocketing health costs, unknown future for the economy.
Welcome back. I am Eric Von Hessler. This is the Von Hessler Doctrine. That's Jared Yamamoto. That's English Nick.
Hello.
Sundays mean the Von Hessler Doctrine.
Right.
But that's not all they mean. Of course, they also mean the Sunday AJC.
Of course.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Go out there and pick this one up today for a deeper look into the state's billion-dollar gamble on toll roads and the likelihood you'll give up money to bypass traffic jams, which... I don't know. Some people are willing to pay for that. I don't know. How is that thing going on 85 where it goes up in price? Do people use that?
Oh, the hot lanes?
The hot lanes? Is that? I don't use that commute very often.
It definitely moves faster, but I mean, sometimes you see that rate. I've seen it up to $8, $9.
Well, before. That's where you want it. But you want it to be that way because then you get over in that lane. There aren't a lot of people and you can move on. If it's 50 cents, you just got another lane. That's the idea. If you're willing to pay, you can go and... People say, well, that's just for rich people. No, because what it does is it opens, by those people getting out of your way, it opens up your lane as well. I've never used them during rush hour. Tell me about the. It seems to me when I drive through there, what if you have to exit? Like, you're all the way on the left lane, and your exit comes up. It doesn't seem like there's do I have to go over four lanes of crowded traffic to try to get to my exit?
Yeah, you've got to plan it in advance, obviously, yeah, to get over, sure.
Yeah, so to me, they should have built easier exits.
They've got a couple hot lane exits. If you know, right. We have HOV exits on the connector. So, yeah. I mean, so they have some of those, too.
Okay, because it doesn't do me any good to go really fast and then have to try to get across four lanes of a traffic jam to get on an exit. So,
Eric, when you get your flying car, then that will be a problem for you.
I do not believe in flying cars.
I know that.
Stupidest idea of all time. Mm-hmm. Every fender bender you see, now that will have fallen out of the sky. Yeah, great idea. Well, look, we can't avoid it anymore. My misanthrope friend Greg Russ is waiting for us in New York City.
He's a misanthrope, he has a dark heart, and he needs a good psychiatrist.
New York, New York.
It's Greg Russ with stories from Studio B1.
Hey, Greggy. Did you ever think you'd get such a warm opening on WSB Radio in Atlanta, Georgia?
No, I enjoy it. I think in the history of WSB Radio, which it's a long history... Probably no one has that kind of opening ever.
You're right. See, it's just it's just for you. So what stories?
Well, I would like to say first, you want to solve your traffic there. Maybe some mass transit. Maybe a...
Oh, and that's...
That's a penny. I'm not paying a penny tax.
This is so New York of you. And when everybody... Look, just because mass transit works for some cities, it doesn't mean it's going to work for every city. And what kind of mass transit is going to get you all the way up 85 to Gwinnett? That's... I don't know. Maybe. I use mass transit like when you go to the Stones concert or something like that. But I don't use it very often. I know some people do. But I don't think it's a great idea for every city. It works for Boston. It works for New York, the way those cities are set up. They're pedestrian friendly, but just metro areas with a lot of suburbs and a downtown, I'm not so sure that it works as well for that.
I've got it. Flying trolleys.
There you go. Yeah, the trolley's working out so well. I think people have referred to this as the flying trolley just because they don't want to swear in front of their children.
Have you seen the flying trolley?
Have you been on that thing? So give us a story from Studio B1, if you will. That is what you're here for, right?
Yeah, that's why I joined the show. And you know that I'm a fashion expert.
Yes, I know that, amongst other things.
This is something that people know about me. That Greg Russ, he dresses sharply.
He's a smart dresser.
Yeah, and that's why I'm here to tell you that shorts with men, they're in again, but not just shorts, short shorts. We're talking about 5.5-inch shorts.
Is this not becoming a trend? Now, when you say shorts...
It is becoming a trend.
I think of, like, the NBA in the 1970s. Is that, what you're talking about? Trend.
Yes, there is this throwback to these old athletic-style shorts, the short ones, but they're you know, at this point, the shorts that people wear for casual encounters, not just sports.
Now, so I guess the only thing that really matters here is, do women dig it? All right? I mean, that's all that matters. And if it's becoming a trend, then some women somewhere are encouraging this, I have to assume.
I would have to assume, too. Now, since I am a fashion expert, here's my advice. Don't wear shorts at all. I don't care what kind of shorts they are. I haven't worn shorts since 2008, I don't think. I went to the beach once, and I had shorts on then. And I feel like a bathing suit is different.
Yeah, a bathing suit doesn't count as shorts because it's a bit you're going to. And why is it called a bathing suit? It should be called swim trunks.
Right.
Swim trunks is better. I'm not going for a bath in the ocean.
Well, you can call it a backpack or a book bag. It's your choice.
But Greg, I forgot about that. You and I are actually in simpatico on this. I don't wear shorts around. No. I mean, maybe around the house or something like that. But I feel goofy when you have like half the leg is gone. Like I'm going to wear half pants? It just seems goofy to me. But we're in the minority, my friend. People love their shorts.
What women want to see hairy, pale, bow legs? I don't think they really exist out there. Now, even if they're in shape, you got some good calves going on. I don't think it needs to be shown off.
Well, English Nick is wearing shorts right now.
Yeah, but mine come below the knee.
I know, but you know what? Can I say to you
Hold on, are they cargo?
No, they're not. They're not cargo.
No.
What kind? Because that was really a big problem too. I didn't like the style of shorts. There was cargo shorts, and that was about it. And the longer ones. And now these are really short, and I don't want those. But
I don't like fashion things that pop up. I think the idea of cargo shorts is that they're like utility, like a roadie for a band. Cargo shorts are good because you have a lot of things.
Construction workers.
Yeah. But I don't like the idea that it just becomes fashionable, and then everybody wears these things with 800 pockets, and they don't have anything in any of the pockets, and it's just a matter of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that there was a time when carpenter jeans were in, and they had that slot for the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And no one had a hammer. As a matter of fact, if you saw someone with a hammer, you get frightened. Why is this guy coming to a party with a hammer? So there's,
So you had the utilitarian, sure. There's kind of, now the fashion is just for fashion, for the sake of fashion. And Chubbies is a company that's just focusing on this. So for you, Eric, they say don't go to the 5.5-inch shorts. It's too short. That's pretty short. For a tall man like you, you should try out the 7 inches to begin with.
Well, you know what I do is I try out just full-on pants. I take on English Nick on this. I don't say things like this, but when I see somebody showing up at work in shorts like that, I feel like, and do you have shorts on now?
I have jeans on right now.
Yeah, but you have worn shorts.
Sure.
I feel like it's disrespectful. Like to walk into an office and you're doing work. I don't know. I don't go so far as needing a suit and tie every time you come in. But it just seems to me like if you wear shorts to work, you're like, yeah, I'm going to be in here for a couple hours and then I'm gone. I'm heading somewhere else. My mind is somewhere else.
It's also 97 degrees in Atlanta today, so it feels a lot more comfortable.
I believe it's air conditioned in this
studio. It is. There is a story in this building that apparently Clark Howard, when we had our old general manager, there was a strict no shorts policy, and Clark Howard threatened. He said he would leave the company if they didn't allow him to wear shorts.
He used his power for good.
He did, and now we can wear shorts here.
He wears shorts every day of the year.
Yes, he does.
Howard.
That is true. I hadn't thought about that, but he is public enemy number one when it comes to men wearing shorts. Hopefully, he won't go for this. I mean, he still looks like a young man, but you know, he did just turn 60. I hope he doesn't go for these short
Let
looks.
Me tell you, these J. Crew shorts that Greg's talking about, mm-hmm. they're way out of Clark's league. He spends $3, I guarantee, on his shorts from somewhere.
Yeah, and that's another thing. People pay as much money for all the fabric. I've never understood this. Shouldn't shorts cost half as much as your pants? They're half pants. Makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Give me another story from B1, if you will, Gregory. I guess he's not there. I think we lost him. Sounds to me like we lost him. That's okay. I know one of the stories that he was going to bring up, I'll bring it up with English Nick, was that Neil Young has pulled his music from streaming services.
I did see this story this week, yeah.
He says not because of money, but because of
sound quality. Yeah.
Which, you know, I think this debate is really kind of silly. I don't think there's much difference. Like, Neil Young is a crank. I love him. I mean, he's a brilliant song.
He doesn't like Donald Trump.
Well, good for him. Yep. There's something we agree on. I mean, look, he's an artist, so they're all leftist. You can't get into that.
Sure.
But Neil Young is a great songwriter and has a great catalog. But he's been a crank for a long time. I remember he was against... Remember he did that, This Song's For You, like when rock songs were starting to be used in advertising, he stood up and said, no, this is terrible, it's wrong, and that was the 80s, and look at the world, okay? You did nothing. There's more pop music being used for advertising. It was just the way of the world, that's the way things were going. You don't have to sell your stuff to anybody if you don't want to, but don't tell everyone else. You know what? Maybe someone had a hit 15 years ago, and they're not doing so well right now, and if Pillsbury comes along and says, maybe that puts a little money in their pockets.
Absolutely.
You know? So he's always like this purist. And I don't think this... I have a lot of friends who get, you know, the LPs rather than the CDs. And supposedly there's supposed to be more dynamic range. And I don't really think that that's true. I looked into this, and apparently when they were working on sonic ranges for the standard for CDs, they left a lot of headroom and a lot on the low end in frequencies that we never... Everything is... It's all accounted for there. Now, you could have a bad pressing of a CD, just like you have a bad pressing of anything else. But he was against that whole thing. Go back to LPs. Now you got this whole scam going on where hipsters go out and buy albums on LP.
Yeah.
But they were still recorded digitally. They just said they recorded them digitally and then they make an analog version, which isn't the same thing as recording an analog and putting it on an LP. I think Foo Fighters did it that way with one LP. So it takes money. You got to be one of the established bands to be able to afford to do that, to fill that niche market. But I love my hipster friends. Oh, I only buy LPs. And it's all digital music that was just put on LP. Plus, he has a competing thing. It's called... Is it called Pony? Or he's got a
digital download site. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a player that he didn't invent, but he got with people. Mm-hmm. And these are full files, like raw files, apparently. And so it's just like listening to the master, I guess.
Oh, well.
But what are you listening to it on? How many of us have an audio setup so that we can take advantage of this little bit more frequency at the top or bottom end that Neil Young's player is good? That's another thing. People do the LP thing. They buy LPs, and they buy them at like Target or Walmart. They're one pieces. This is not how we used to listen to albums in the 70s. I mean, we used to hang speakers from certain areas.
Everywhere.
It's all a big scam. I love Neil Young, but he's just kind of cranky, I think. All right. Well, I believe we got Greg back up there with us.
We sure do.
And we'll get one more story from Studio B1. And remember, we have the best goodbyes in the business. Don't miss them. Welcome back. Channel 2's Brad Nitz is predicting a high of around 95. That translates to a 7 on your Mellish meter. Calibrate that at home. I know you have your little home version. Calibrate that to a 7. This weather report is brought to you by Shoemate, the official air conditioning of summer. Before we get back to Greg, who we do have back with us, I just saw this picture that English Nick put up on my Facebook of us here today. And great job there. But one thing I have to say about myself, time for a diet. You know, you don't see yourself from the outside until you see a picture like this. And, you know, I've accepted the fact that as I age, I'm just going to look more and more like a frog. Okay? I'm accepting of that. But the weight, that's something I could do something about. So maybe a little less French toast in the morning. And I promise you, my pictures will look a little bit better than that in the future, I hope. I don't even know if I can go on. We only have one more segment. Makes it easy. Greg, very quickly, one more story.
All right, I would also like to apologize. What happened was you talked about Clark Howard wearing shorts, and I recoiled, and I pulled the microphone off my desk. And it hit the floor, and I had to, fix it.
All right, well, give us one more story.
All right, well, To Kill a Mockingbird, you're familiar with this book. Go Set a Watchman is the follow-up. It's about to be released, and this story is apparently ruining people's childhood because...
Atticus Finch, apparently.
Yeah, he's in the first book, he's a nice lawyer. He defends a black man who was accused of raping a woman in the 1930s in Alabama, and his kid loved him, and now it turns out he's a racist.
Yeah, this is a weird thing with this book, Go Set a Watchman. Is her name Harper Lee?
That's right.
She wrote this book, but she never wrote another book. this is a huge book, but she never wrote another book. Now, I never read the book. I never saw the movie because Gregory Peck is one of those guys that does not draw me to a movie.
Really?
He's always so smug. Huh. And it's always like, he's always, you know, the man in the gray flannel suit. It's always this, you know, social nonsense. Just something about Gregory Peck. I don't dig him. So I've never watched the movie and I've never read the book. But because the book's so famous, I know what it's about and I know the whole thing. And this Atticus Finch, but it's a weird thing is Harper Lee is very old now and she's, or maybe early.
89.
Early dementia, and all of a sudden the money people found this. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I think she wrote this before To Kill a Mockingbird, and yeah, I also feel like when she brought this to the publishers at first, they said, you know what, this character is not very likable, why don't you work on this some more, and out of that came To Kill a Mockingbird. So this is kind of, I wonder how there she is with this and how much she understands. It might be a manuscript that she's never been happy with. She never went forward with it. She had all of these years. So I've got a feeling that it's not going to be a very good book all the way around. So
Well, quickly, I do know that what you said is correct. This is apparently truer to the story she did want to release. So I don't know if she would be unhappy with it, but someone's definitely taking advantage. Like, hey, remember that book you wanted to release?
Yeah.
The editor said you need to change.
Yeah, and you're about to die, and we're your estate, and we want the money. So how about you let us do this? I think that they're taking advantage of her to a certain degree. But we got to run, Greg, because we're out of time.
All right.
It's Greg Russ from Studio B1. Thank you very much. We do have to go. I want to thank Mary Ellen. I want to thank DeMarco. I want to thank Jared. I want to thank English Nick. And I want to remind you that at 4:30 this morning, the 15th annual News 95.5 AM 750 WSB Carathon benefiting the Aflac Cancer Center and Blood Disorders Center of Children's Healthcare of Atlanta begins 4:30, and then it's two straight days. We will be there tomorrow night from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We're working up some good acts, try to get some some singing going on, some dancing going on, and we look forward to you listening and helping out for the next 2 days. You can get more of my stuff on ericvonline.com, ericvonline.com. Enjoy the rest of your day, the rest of your weekend. But for now, I simply must insist that each and every one of you get off my lawn.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.